Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Sound Worship Podcast. We are glad you've joined us. As always, my name is Matt Houston. I'm joined by Allie Taylor.
Hey.
Hey. And not by Bryce Castile again today, because he is still on vacation. He's not even going to know we recorded these, and he's going to suddenly see them drop on Spotify or something and go, wait, what? And so, hey, Bryce, hope you enjoyed your time.
He's going to have FOMO. Poor Bryce.
Oh, man, what a great episode last time without Bryce.
Oh, no.
I mean, he just happens to not be there. That's what I mean by that. Yeah. Okay.
He would say, that's foul.
Yeah, that's foul. We'll just do all the Bryce-isms and stuff, you know? Speaking of that, if anyone knows Bryce personally, you'll have to ask him. He coached a team in our youth conference in Death Ball. I don't even want to say the name of the team, but I will. He named them the Poo Poo Piggies. And well,
they made t-shirts too.
Oh, there were t-shirts and stickers. It was all the rage. And Bryce like was the coach, and he dressed up. He looked like a coach on the sideline of a football game, like with a Waffle House menu up to his mouth and all. And he coached them so well that they got down to the final two games, and they lost both games, double elimination, and the Poo Poo Piggies got flushed. So that was really sad.
Poor Poo Poo.
For those of you who don't care about this, you just came to hear about worship. Well, again, welcome to the Sound Worship Podcast.
Intro 2, 3.
Hey, our last episode, if you didn't listen to it, go check it out. It was all about how to handle and avoid burnout in ministry. So go check it out. Lots of good points that were made without Bryce being here. And so today we got a new topic. Before we get into that, we wanted to just make sure you guys were aware. We have our next worship conference planned here in the Deep South at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain for May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's a Thursday night, Friday all day, and half a day Saturday. So it gives you time to get back to your church on Sunday, or you can stay here and check out our church on Sunday morning. But May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, save the dates. And stay in touch with CalvaryChapelDeepSouth.com, because we'll be putting some information up there soon, including registration and guest speakers and all the fun stuff there. But we are excited because it's no longer in January, right after Christmas, in the cold month, so we can't get outside and do anything fun. But now it will be in May, where it will be hot, because in the Deep South it's either hot or it's cold, and it's usually not even cold. So, you know, we're just gonna enjoy the warmer weather there.
But
so,
it's probably perfect.
It probably will
right
be.
Before it's like the humidity is choking you.
Very true. Probably gonna be raining all 3 days, you know, and it'll be great. You know, we'll just enjoy. No, it'll be wonderful. Today, we're going to talk about how to engage the congregation and how to hold good stage presence. And for this one, I'm going to tap out, because if anyone has ever seen me lead worship, they will know that I don't have very good stage presence. And it's not because I don't try, and it's not because I don't want to. I just have a very hard time having good stage presence. And I've heard many stories over the years, and I've heard from many people about it. And so I could tell you how not to engage the congregation and how not to have a good stage presence, but I won't. I will tell you some things I've learned, and I think I've grown in this area.
Yes, you have.
Oh, well, thanks. If live stream were a thing when I first started leading worship here, which was like 13 years ago, we could take that very first live stream and then compare it to today's, and you'll see a slight, subtle difference, you know? I've gained some weight. I've gotten older. But stage presence, maybe a smile here and there, you know, maybe.
Just one, really quick.
Yeah, just a quick smile.
Whenever, you know, there's like an instrumental break, quick smile.
Yeah. Like usually when I look over at our bass player and he's smiling at me, and it just causes me to smile because he's smiling so big, you know, like that's usually what happens. And it's usually off camera because I'm looking away. So
it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. But it does happen from time to time. No, this is a huge struggle of mine. And again, it's not because I don't care and because I don't want to. I just struggle with it. You know, there's a lot of things in my brain while I'm leading worship, and I'm thinking about did the bass player hit his parts right? Did the piano player play their part? What's coming next? What song is coming next? What time is it? And how many? I'm just thinking about everything. And I try not to, but I am. And it happens. There are a lot of distractions, but I know I need to get better at this. And I think there are others who might benefit from some things that we could talk about today. So Allie, though, on the other hand, has wonderful stage presence.
Ching. That was my smile.
No, it's been noted, you know, many people enjoy watching you lead worship, and that sounds funny saying watching you lead worship. They should be worshiping alongside of you, and I'm sure they are, but it's a very welcoming presence, and I think Allie has a lot of good things to say on this topic, and so not trying to flatter you or butter you up, but I think you will definitely bring some more to the table here. I will tell everybody what not to do, and you could tell everybody what they can and should do. How about that?
You have plenty to offer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. Any first thoughts on this topic, Allie?
Can I talk about how it started?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
I don't remember how it started, but...
The pictures?
Oh, please.
Am I allowed to...
Yes.
Well, it all started... I was not like this from the beginning. I was very much like... straight-faced, scary worship leader, I don't know, until our pastor, one day, he printed off pictures of our faces during live stream and pasted them on the wall and said, look at this. And it was like that glass-shattering moment. You're like, oh, I always smile. I look so joyful all the time. And I looked and I was like, wow. I look mean. It's pretty bad. So yeah, that was a little embarrassing, but it was a good embarrassment because that's what started it all. So I think smiling is obviously harder than not smiling. So it's taken a long time. Like before, I would just smile, but I'm thinking about it. I'm like, smile. You gotta make sure you're smiling while you're singing this. But now it's like anything. You practice so long, it's just second nature. Like, you know, you practice chords, now you don't even think about it. Like, Matt gets in a zone, and I can't get him out when he's playing something, because it's just so natural. So now, when I'm smiling, I'm not really thinking about it, unless I'm completely tired. That's when I have to start forcing it, but...
I wish I had that problem.
Oh.
See, when I smile, it's because I'm thinking about it, and I think about it a lot, and there's this old joke that I say, but it's not a joke, and it's not even old. It's new. It's still a problem for me today, but the amount of times that I think I smiled really good in service today, and I go home, and I watch the live stream, and I'll say, what happened? Like, I've even practiced smiling. You know, they tell you, like, when you're giving a presentation in high school or college, like, practice smiling in the mirror, or, you know, film yourself. And I will literally, like, look down and I will smile as big as I can, and I'll say, all right, great. And I'll look up with that expression in the mirror, and it looks like I'm about to kill you. And I, you know, my smile is, let's just put it this way. I can stand to bring a lot more than I think I can. And I have a hard time with that in service. I think I'm smiling, and I will look at myself on the camera and say, you're not smiling at all. You know, like, my face just doesn't do it. So, I have a hard time with that. I have to really work at it.
It's okay.
Yeah. It happens, I'm sure, to some people. But, you know, let's talk about the reason that this is even a topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think, hear me out, Allie and everybody else listening, Bryce, as you're driving back from vacation, I personally think a huge reason that stage presence is non-existent, or, you know, the engagement of the congregation might be lacking is because there's always an example of worship, and today's examples of worship come from a lot of music videos, and today's music videos are different. You know, back in the day, it used to just be a pre-recorded thing that was like somebody pretending to perform the pre-recorded version. Well, today's music videos are like live worship that's actually happening. Like these are live performances that they have recorded and mastered and all. But when you look at these videos, everybody's faces are like scrunched up, and their mm-hmm. eyes are closed, and they're looking to the sky, and they're crying, and they're just in all these serious, like, mellow, you know, moments. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that they're really worshiping the Lord, but that doesn't work for a Sunday morning, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if we just got up before people and just closed our eyes the whole time, and not just closed our eyes, but, like, scrunched them closed, you know, like we're in pain and agony and we might mean the words that we say, but we're in no way engaging the people who are worshiping with us. And I think that's our example. I think that's become a huge example to worship leaders everywhere. And so not only do they try to duplicate the 14-minute version of the song on a Sunday morning in a live setting, but they do the same with the actions of the people they've been watching on the video. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the reasons.
Oh,
people
yeah.
might disagree, and you'd be wrong. But but no, it's just you have to fight that. You have to remind yourself that you are leading these people. These people need to be led, and as long as you're doing stuff like that, you're just closing them off. Like it's hard to follow along to somebody when it feels like they don't even acknowledge that you're in a room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think okay, maybe this is controversial. I'm so sorry, but. I don't love it when people say things like, you know, when I lead worship, I just like it when it's like, it's just me and God. Like, we're just having our own moment. That's the best. Like, that's just what you got to do. I've heard that so many times. It's just
really?
Me and God. It's just me and God. Or, and I've heard, I won't say who, but I've heard a person who went
Christ.
To a church. No. He went to, he.
Oh,
it's not a he.
Busted.
Okay, anyway.
It's a she. Okay. Who is it? Just say their name.
No, okay.
Surprise, come on out.
No. Okay, there was a person one time who said they went to a church and they were like, yeah, their worship team, they actually were not on a stage. They were behind the congregation in a pit, like an orchestra, but opposite. And so you couldn't see them at all. And they were like, that was great because it's just they're having their own thing, but we're doing our own thing and we don't see them and they're not making it a show. And they're like, and it's just them and Jesus and the congregation is them and Jesus. And I'm like, huh? How do you do that? Like, I think there's this balance we have to understand between, okay, obviously it's not about you. It's about the Lord. So you don't want to draw attention to yourself in the wrong way, whether that's laying on the floor on the stage. That's obviously going to draw weird attention, especially to people who've never been to church before. Or, you know, you obviously don't want it to be about you, just you and Jesus, because, sorry, this is the controversial thing. I don't believe that it's supposed to be about you and Jesus in your moment right now. Yeah. You're leading people.
Just you two.
Yeah, it's just us. No one matters.
Yeah.
Then why are you up there?
Right.
You're supposed to be leading people. And when I'm doing things, yes, I would want to do something else sometimes because I'm more of like a jumpy, can
oh,
I
you're
say
one
charismatic
of those.
Type
oh.
of person? I am, but I say that for my private time. Like I go and worship God by myself and I go do that. But then when I come and lead other people, like it's not my private crazy time. Like this is where I'm supposed to start leading people. And paying attention to getting them to the feet of Jesus, not me getting to the feet of Jesus. I should be there already. So,
yeah, I think it comes in extremes. Like when I first started leading worship, I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know what I'm doing now. But when I first started leading worship, people like would tell me like at you know, I'd hear other worship leaders or I'd watch videos or whatever. I would read books and there was a huge push like, hey, as worship leaders, you just need to get out of the way. You know, and so like I heard that and I was like, no problem, you know, like I'll close my eyes. I have to be at the mic because that's the way people are going to hear me, but I'm not going to look at them. I'm just going to let them wear. Hey, you guys look at the screen. You guys do your own thing. Like, I'm just going to get out of the way. I'm just going to sing and you guys can sing too. And I'll get out of the way and it'll just be you and God, you know? Okay, well, that's wonderful. But me getting out of the way as a worship leader makes me no longer a leader. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was a huge thing. And to this day, I still struggle with like, no, you don't need to be out of the way. And I had thoughts like that before. I've heard of people doing that where they turn around or they get behind the congregants or whatever. And I remember thinking once, if I could just lead worship from like a closet, you know, and just sing like so that no one looks at me or what if the people on stage like turned around and just looked at the wall like the same, you know, they're in front of people, but they're facing the same way, like just to show like, hey, it's not about us. We're getting out of the way. We're all worshiping God. And, you know, like then you realize just how incredibly stupid that would look. And if you're listening and you've done that, well, stop it.
We forgive you.
But then there came about this new era, so to say, of, you know, no, let's not do that. Like, we don't need to get out of the way. And I think for people like me, it's hard to break that habit. You know what I mean? It's hard to break that train of thought. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like me who are shy and who don't like to be seen and don't like to be in front of people. Like, I hate it. That is the worst thing for me. I don't want to be in front of people. I don't want to be seen. You know, it's very hard for me. I'm not an extrovert. So it's really hard for me to get up in front of people and be confident, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that shows. That is, I think, one of the reasons I don't have much stage presence is I'm confident what I'm doing, but I'm not confident in just being in front of people, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something the Lord has worked on me on. Like, he has allowed me to do that and have the boldness to do that, you know? But anyway, my point is breaking the stereotypes. I think we need to break the stereotype and not just be worshipers, me and Jesus, just us two up here together. And if you want to sing, you can too, but whatever, it's just us, you know? Break the stereotypes of those kind of things and remember that we are not just worshipers, we are worship leaders. Mm-hmm. And if you are a leader, you must lead people to come alongside of you, you know? Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing. I think people more so in my generation than yours. Mm-hmm. Because I'm only 30.
Right. But, and I'm 29. I mean, I actually am 29.
Okay, I'm not 30, but yeah.
31.
Yeah, there you go. My dad has been 39 for a couple and a half decades now. So, you know, yeah, forever young. Anyway, I have a few things I've learned over the years, Allie. Are there some things that you have learned to help you have good stage presence or even help engage the congregation?
Well, I've definitely messed up a lot. I was the person who copied people. I'd be like, oh, they look really fun. And I started doing it. I used to like say too much, like, because I grew up with Kim Walker Smith. Like, she was so good. Like, she just always had these parts when they would do concerts, and she would just talk, and she would sing, and then say this monologue, and, you know?
But then she would go up in volume level with the music. Yeah.
I've even memorized them.
Oh, man.
But, so I was like, oh, that's what you got to do on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to do that. So I have tried, I have failed, but I think...
Well, you can do that, to be clear, right?
You can. Yeah. It's just, it's not, I was trying to imitate.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, and I'm trying to be Kim Walker Smith.
Yeah.
When I'm Allie Taylor, like, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, even I think we copy what people's clothes are, how they jump, how they say prayers. And I think you're losing, like, who you are, and you're losing, okay, this is their congregation. This is not my congregation here. And so I've had to step back. I've had to be like, okay, who am I? What has God made me to be? And how can I learn to draw our congregation? Because ours is a lot different. And I don't know. can I talk about our congregation?
Yeah, sure. You just say and he again, you know? Like... Brenda number one and Brenda number two, you know? Brenda. Karen number three and Karen number four.
Karen's my grandma.
Like, yeah, different kind of Karen. Yeah. She's Karen one.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I just diverted from this question. Maybe we should start it over.
Okay, so you had a really good point, and that point, though, is to not be an imitator. So, okay, look, this is tough, okay? So to lead worship well, I think there is imitation that must take place. It is really helpful to see it done well. And when you see someone who's a good worship leader and you see them do things, yes, okay, we can imitate those things and we can try those things and implement those things, but we don't want to become imitators of that person. We don't want to become that person, you know? Mm-hmm. For me, like when I was growing up, like Paul Balazs was such a great, you know, is such a great worship leader, but like he was a huge influence on me growing up, but I didn't make it my goal to become Paul Balazs, you know? It was just like, I know I need to be me. I need to be true to who I am. At the same time, I stole a lot of things from him, you know? And he put out like videos and teachings, he still does, and you can find a lot of good resources and help from him, which is wonderful. Like it helps, you know, you want to soak up what's good. It's just like anything. As a Bible teacher, you want to soak up the good things about someone, you know, and but you don't want to become that person. And so I love what you said, you know, you want to be careful not to become an imitation of the person that you admire who leads worship. You want to stay true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's things to learn from other people. So let's take those things and let's implement them you know, learn a few things along the way. And yeah, we're going to fail, but hopefully we're learning from those things, you know. Live stream will definitely teach you a lot of things about yourself you didn't know, you know.
Yep.
If you're not reviewing a live stream, you will be missing out on what can make for a better stage presence and engagement with the congregation. So, all right, what are some practical ways just for someone either starting out or someone who maybe like is convicted today and says, oh man, maybe Kim Walker Smith is listening and
Hey.
Okay. What are some practical things that people can do and work on today to help them be a better worship leader this Sunday in terms of engagement and stage presence?
Practice.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh.
But what do you mean by practice? So, like, not just practicing the songs, but you mean practicing stage presence.
I mean both.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Like, when you haven't memorized the lyrics.
When I haven't?
When you haven't memorized the lyrics.
I never memorize the lyrics.
When we all don't. I was talking about you. When we all don't memorize lyrics, at least most of them, or we don't know the chords. We don't know where we're going. We've never practiced this. We go on a Sunday morning. We're staring at our music. So obviously that's going to make you less confident in being able to lead people. You're more nervous. You can't engage with them. You can't even look at them. So if you're completely tied down to your iPad or whatever, how are you supposed to see what's happening in the congregation, how they're responding, or maybe one day they're just popping out of their seats, but you have no clue because you're just you're just looking E minor, C, D.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. And then the other way is also at home practicing smiling, or like I will, when I'm leading with guitar, I'll stand up and practice all my songs. and I'll practice smiling and moving around at the same time. And I've also had to practice my prayers. So, yeah, that one was very difficult for me, but I had to practice actually doing that. So,
yeah, practice is key. It as they say, practice makes perfect. We're not looking to be perfect, but if you're not practicing, you won't get better with anything, right? And I remember when I first started leading worship, and I think my pastor at the time, he said, "Hey, why don't you try praying, you know, at the end, and but like maybe play behind it, you know, that kind of thing." And I couldn't, like, I could not play and pray at the same time. And so I would pray something and then strike a chord and then pray some more. And I can honestly say, thankfully now, I don't know if it sounds good or not, but I can play and pray, you know, I can finger pick and I can play through some chords and patterns, and my brain is able to multitask and figure out what I'm saying and what I'm playing at the same time. Now, I still struggle with that, and not all my prayers are maybe the most coherent, but just practicing it, getting better at it, and just trying, you know, things like that makes a huge difference. It's good. Even not looking at your iPad. If you're looking at your iPad, you're not looking at the people. And we have a confidence monitor in the back, which it's rightly called a confidence monitor because it helps give you confidence, right?
Yeah.
And right beside it, we can see ourselves. And then right beside it, we see the lyrics that we're singing that are on the screen at the time, plus what's coming next. And so it's really nice to, I try not to look at my iPad unless I just absolutely have to. And I know some people don't have iPads for that very reason. They'll say, "Hey, get all that off the stage and, you know, you must memorize it and it's a mandatory thing or whatever." That's great. You do that. I have no problem with that. I don't do that.
No.
And I have no problem with that either. So I like it being there. I like, you know, I make notes on it because we run a loop and, you know, click and all that too. And so I have notes on my iPad. It's just kind of my playbook, if you will, you know, but I try not to look at it unless I just have to. And I rely on that monitor in the back sometimes because it allows me to still look out at the people and know what's coming up next. And every now and then Bryce leaves me hanging, like he did today, recording this episode.
Cool.
And, I think like 2 weeks ago, I sang the same, or maybe at the youth conference, I sang the same line twice because it was up there twice. And by the time I sang it the second time, I said, "Wait a minute.
This is familiar."
Yeah, just sing this, you know, so it happens, you know, it's fine. But the idea would be, I'd rather do that and make a mistake. I'd rather look away from my iPad and make a mistake than to be glued to my iPad and never make a mistake, but never connect with people, you know?
But that's a good point about mistakes, though, because when you made that mistake, I knew.
Oh, you noticed?
Well, obviously, I know, because I'm singing something else.
You're singing a different harmony. Oh, interesting.
But, like, you didn't hesitate, though, was the thing. You just went back and just sang it anyway. Yeah. And it was like, honestly, if you really know the song, you know there was a mistake, but it wasn't pointed out, I guess.
Right.
So I feel like that goes in with stage presence, too. When you make mistakes, and how do you handle those in front of people? Because I've seen it really bad. I've experienced it. I've done it. All the things. And people, that's, I think those are the moments where, like, we're all going to make mistakes. It happens. But it's one of those telltale signs of, like, okay, are we going to focus on you and your mistake and your problem? Or someone else's problem? Or are we going to just keep going? And
right.
Are we going to show that, no, it's still about the Lord? Yeah, we're weak, but he's strong, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, years ago, we had to tell our team, and we still do from time to time, hey, when someone makes a mistake, please don't look at them. Because that would happen, you know? A bass player would hit the wrong note, and everybody would just turn to the bass player, or he would turn to the drummer or whatever, you know, like, and it's like, when you do that, people already know if someone made a mistake, but you don't have to, like, show everybody who it was and make that person feel bad. And, you know, if I make a mistake, I don't want the whole band turning to me and looking at me, because now I'm just, like, out of it, you know? And in fact, you know, hopefully our bass player is listening now. If he is, Jack, hey, Jack.
Oh, no, but, you gave a name.
He would appreciate the shout out. I love Jack. He's great, you know, and I'll use him as an example because I use him as an example on Sunday mornings, but because he has a great attitude and he's always joyful. But now I kind of make a joke, and I'll say, even if it's not Jack's fault, I'll say, yeah, when so-and-so makes a mistake at the piano, everybody just look at Jack, you know, like it's because I know Jack can handle it. You know, if you're going to look at somebody, just look at Jack, you know, look at some, like, let's not all just turn our heads and point out, you know, who made the mistake, because people see that and it's such a distraction and it makes them feel bad. And so be careful of that. You know, hey, mistakes are made, but let's move on quickly.
Mm-hmm. I have a story.
Go for it.
When I was semi-new to playing guitar on stage at this time in my life, and I was playing with someone I'd never played with. They'll be nameless, okay?
Okay, Jack.
And it was one of those quiet moments. We're transitioning to the next song, and then I take my capo off to put it on my guitar, but it like snags a string. Mm. And so it was like, ding! And this is a conference too. And I was like, Allie, it's okay. Just, you know, don't bring attention to it. The person leading, you don't know this person.
Is it me?
You know? Was it you? This is a long time ago. And they literally stopped playing the next song and they turned to me and told everyone. They were like, what was that?
No way.
I was mortified. I like just started playing and I was like, oh no. And no. Everyone's staring at me. And
was this a women's conference?
No.
Okay. I was like, why was I not there? But okay.
Yeah, you were not there. But that kind of freaked me out. And it happened a couple other times during the conference too. So it was just, it's like, you don't have to make people look at me.
Right.
Like, please, just I pretend like it know. Didn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. They already know they made a mistake. Mm-hmm. So even in workshops that, you know, I'll give, like, I remind people, like, they know they made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not my goal to correct. I used to play under this worship leader at a former church. And anytime anyone made a mistake, she would start the song all the way over. And it didn't matter if it was like we knew the song and we just hit the wrong thing, or your capo hit the wrong thing, whatever. Like if the song was 3 minutes, 28 seconds and you got to 3 minutes, 27 seconds and there was some weird thing, start the song all, like we had to go through it without making a mistake. And you talk about people pointing out like, oh, look what you did, you know, like, because we get so frustrated at it, you know, and like sometimes we would just, me and this other guy, we were young and, you know, sometimes we would just do it on purpose just to get her mad, you know, but I like to remind people, like they know they made a mistake, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't know they're making mistakes, if the, you know, electric guitarist keeps hitting the wrong, like a major instead of a minor, like, okay, just walk over and tell them, like, hey, you're hitting the wrong chord. Just want to let you know, make sure you know that's mm-hmm. Whatever. But you don't have to stare at them. You don't have to turn around and, you know, distract everybody. So speaking of distractions, we've been off on this topic for a while. So
another part of engagement is also what you say. You know, you can go through saying or singing different songs, but you can also add in other things to help the congregation become more engaged. And I feel like you do a good job of this, so you should talk about it.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you said that, because I think a lot of times I'm like, man, we just do song after song after song. I don't say enough. I remember years ago, and I'm hoping I got better at this, but I stepped off the stage. Maybe it was after first service, and Pastor Sandy pulled me in his office and he said, listen, after worship, I'm going to deliver the message. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. He goes, so please don't do that in your worship.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, heard. I guess I just said too many things, you know, I think worship leaders are guilty of that. Some more so than others, but we can become very guilty of delivering a message in our worship and trying to preach or giving a 3 to 4 minute, you know, explanation of a song and why it's biblical and why we blah, 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 blah. And
mm-hmm.
At that point, we're taking away from worship, you know, like there will be a message afterwards. Let God speak through that message and all. And you can say some things during mm-hmm. worship, but let's just be careful, you know, of how much we expound on things, you know.
Yeah.
Not to say when we're introducing a new song, we can't take a minute or two, you know. to do that. But if we are talking a couple minutes between every song, like, it's probably too much, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, just assess it. But I think giving exhortations before a song or in the middle of a song, those are great things that are necessary. You know, otherwise you're just doing song after song after song, and those are great, but people just need a little more sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're leading them, they need to be led. And so just, I mean, simple things like, hey, let's stand together, you know, like just getting people on their feet, welcoming people when they first get there, you know? It could be just a simple thing before a song or praying with them or whatever it might be, praying in between songs, praying at the end of worship, you know, just giving. I like to give little exhortations that require a response, you know, like, God is good, is he not, you know? Because it forces people to answer that question. Like, if you don't answer that question, does that mean you don't believe God is good? Like, if you come to church and you're like, I don't want to sing, I don't want to stand, I just want to sit there and enjoy worship. Okay, that sure, you're probably worshiping. Maybe you're worshiping on the inside, but like, that's a terrible, terrible way to approach worship. And so if I say God is good, is he not? And you refuse to say it, like, well, you know, check your heart, you know, guy, all right, cool, whatever.
Oh.
But I'm just being facetious.
There's someone in your brain right now, huh?
Yeah, I got people I know. People, when I look at you and your arms are crossed and you're sitting down when everyone else is standing up, you know who you are. Anyway, I like things that require a response from people. And at the same time, you got to try not to be too repetitive and making like your worship time too predictable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It should be predictable to a point. People kind of know what to expect, and you don't want people to like constantly be surprised or like shocked or whatever, you know, but like trying new things, but not making it so predictable. Like, oh, I know exactly what he's going to say next. And I think sometimes I say the same phrases. I know I do.
Same.
Sometimes I do it on purpose, you know, but I like trying to think like, okay, what can we say here? What can I say that might require a response, or what can I say that will help lead people into this next line that we're about to sing because it's powerful or it's really meaningful. I want them to think about this as we sing it, you know, other than just singing the same song over and over and over because it gets boring, you know?
Yeah.
But like, hey, look at what this line says right now. And now let's proclaim it. Like, let's sing it. Like, sing it loud, you know, kind of thing. So,
yeah. I think that's a good reminder for people to not be so in the routine of a song. Like you're saying, and just, yeah, kind of break it up a little bit, like, and maybe you just feel led by the Holy Spirit to do that. You know, I think sometimes you even, you'll sing a song and then right before a bridge or something, you pray just like one sentence or just give one encouragement. Like, I know we've sung this a million times, but he is faithful. Like, let's remember that. And I think even something as simple as that just helps you not robotically worship God. Mm-hmm. Like, you get reminded again, like, these words are really powerful. Like, this is what we're really doing right now. We're singing to the Lord. And I think those things are important when you do them too. And I think some people could actually say, I can hear people saying like, well, if you make them all stand, you're just making them do something, or all together, or let's all sing it out, or, and everyone's like, I don't want to. But the point is, it's a congregation. It's not private worship time. You are facilitating that. This is a special time where we've all gathered and we're all going to do the same thing. And I think that's obviously evident in the Bible when there's groups of people, or like the Israelites, they're all doing the same thing. Like, we're all saying that we're united, worshiping God in this way together. And I think when you do stuff like that, that really helps bring people as one, instead of, oh, I'm singing this song, or I like this song. But it reminds them there's a whole group of people here to do this as one, like heaven, you know?
Right. I think it helps break down the barriers and breaks down the walls a little bit, you know? Like, it helps people relax. not that people like come into worship like pent up and just, you know, like tense, but I think sometimes they do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they do come with that attitude of like, oh, he just told me I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to stand up. You know, I'm tired of doing this, whatever. Well, like, okay. If that's you, check your heart.
Yep.
Why do you have to be so rebellious and so disobedient? You know, like, I'm not trying to force you into worship. I just, you know, it's like we're, like you said, we're in this together. Like, this is our corporate time of worship, you know? Hey, don't have such a hard heart, man. Come on. But yeah, it does break down those barriers. You know, if I've come in just sort of like, maybe I've had a bad day or whatever it is, and the first two songs, I'm like, oh, we do these songs all the time, you know, and my arms are crossed and I'm not singing. And suddenly the worship leader says, you know, I know we know God is good and we know these words. We've sang this song a million times about how faithful God is. But have you ever stopped to just consider like how faithful he is, like even right now, like or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
What maybe started as a hard heart has turned into a soft heart, obviously, just but a heart that is now ready, you know, and to be not just used by God, but like to respond to God, you know? And so suddenly that chorus I've literally just sung 1,000 times and I hate, can become worshipful again because my heart has changed, you know? And I think those words, those exhortations help get people to that point.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I love doing is I try to look for songs that require a response too. So not just sayings, not just things you say that require a response, but songs, you know? One of the best ones we've been doing lately is Holy Forever. And sometimes at the end, we'll just repeat the chorus and allow people to respond, you know? You know, the chorus says, and the angels cry, and then we'll cut out, and then the people will, holy, and then we'll come back in, all creation cries, and then you'll hear the people, holy, and it's like really cool. It's like, again, it requires a response, and if we're singing, you know, all creation cries, the angels cry, all creation sings, you know, all the, hear your people sing. Like we're putting those words in action and it can just take a chorus that you know and turns it into worship. It's really cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like this is our God in the bridge. You know, I like doing the same thing sometimes. Who pulled me out of that pit? And then, come on, sing it. And then they're all like, he did, you know? It's really cool, like requiring them to answer the question, you know?
Right. Another thing I think is important for us to talk about is, you know, when worship leaders, they let the congregation set the tone for them. Like they are, if I can say, vibing off of the response of the congregation in order to let that determine how they're going to lead.
Yeah, that's dangerous. It's like you as a worship leader just lead worship, but you let them lead the tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
But it can happen.
Yeah.
Very easily, especially, not every church is going to relate to this, but hopefully they can kind of tap into our shoes here just for a minute. But when we come off of a youth conference, you know, we have a Thursday night, all day Friday, half a day Saturday youth conference, and there's 500 kids. Our sanctuary is a 500-seat capacity. But there's 500 kids in there, and every seat is taken, and everybody's singing, and it's loud, and it's like not just loud singing, but loud music. Like we're just pumped up, like there's energy in a room, like not on a normal basis, you know. Like sorry to say, but it's not the same kind of energy we get. It's more energy than we get on a Sunday morning, you know.
Yeah,
well, it's great. We love it. Like those are great times of leading worship. But then the conference ends Saturday at noon. And we come back Sunday morning, and now we're leading worship for, you know, a couple hundred people in first service, and then a couple hundred more in second service, and it's not quite the same. And there are adults in there who are, not that they worship in a different way than kids do, but, you know, they've got some burdens on their shoulders or whatever, and it's not a full room suddenly. And I have to remind myself, like, hey, it doesn't mean worship stops, you know? I have to remind myself that, like, I need to give it my all right here, whether it's five people or 500 people. It, should my level of worship or the way that I lead worship change? And the answer is obviously no.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remind yourself of that. You know, no matter how many people are in a room, give it everything you got, you know?
Yeah.
Don't let, as Joshua says, you know, don't look at the people's faces, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to look at them, but don't let their faces dictate how you lead worship, you know? Don't let that set the tone for you, because
right.
now they're leading you as you try to lead them. And it's not good.
It is hard though. I will admit, because you look out and they've got their arms crossed. They're yawning. Some of them look so angry. Like, I'm like, I won't look there. I'm going to look to the side. Or I don't know. Like, sometimes I see some of our youth kids, they're just doing weird stuff. Like, I'm like, you guys don't understand. I can see you right now.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Always remember, your worship leaders can see you, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing? And they're, like, dancing and picking their nose.
Yeah,
and
texting.
Yeah, it's very distracting.
Yeah.
But I think it's really hard for, you know, I'll start off. I'm like, okay, gotta bring it. Like, I'm gonna smile. I'm gonna move around some. I'm gonna make sure my level is up. And then after two songs, their level has not gone up with me.
It's not risen, yeah.
And I'm like, oh no. And it's like the stamina's just leaving me.
Right.
But you have to keep that, because I think if we're lower than they are, we're toast. Like,
sure.
They have nowhere to go. Like, I think when I guess on the opposite end, when I've been in worship sets at other churches, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's kind of a hard time, hard day today. And then I go to a worship service and someone's just like, they look like they are excited. They love this. They're leading, they're engaging. And I feel like I'm ready. Like, you brought me there. You got me there. And I didn't feel like I could get there. And so I think it's really important to do that, especially when they're not that way. And I feel like we get the bad connotation of, well, they're not standing, they're not raising their hands. That means that they're just all grumpy.
Yeah, they're just not in the mood to worship.
Yeah.
We give ourselves an excuse at that point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not good. Hey, if the worship leader is bringing all they got and the people still aren't worshiping, it's not the worship leader's fault.
Right.
You know, don't blame the worship leader for your lack of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Yeah. I look at it as it like of an encouragement when they're not actually very engaged. Because when I go to other places or something and we're doing like pastor's conference, they're like, they're just there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really exciting. But when we go on a Sunday morning and they're really not there, it's encouraging to me because I'm like, I have a job. They
exactly.
actually need us.
They I got
need
a job
us to
do.
Get us
yeah,
there.
Let's go.
So, yeah. I try to just remember that.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well, we've said a lot of good things here, and I hate to cut it short because we could continue talking about these things for days, but honestly, the list that we've created has come out of us looking at ourselves on live stream, us receiving feedback from our senior pastor, from others, and there's a lot of things we do well, and there's a lot of things we need improvement on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we're still growing in that area. And I think the point is like, we have taken steps to try to engage more with our congregation, which includes our stage presence and not excluding the people who have come. And part of that is, you know, realizing they need help, and they're not going to get help if we just close our eyes. You know, they're not going to realize the importance of worship. They're not even, a lot of them don't even realize like what the point of worship is, you know?
Yeah.
So the more we could do to make them feel comfortable, the more we can do to help them step out of their shell and learn how to worship God, because, you know, part of worshiping God is setting pride aside and bringing humility into it and just recognizing God's worth, you know? And if you're coming there with your arms crossed and with the heart of, I'm not going to do this, well, there's some pride going on there, you know? We're not going to fix them. The Holy Spirit will fix them, but we want to be a tool. You know, we want to be a help to help engage them in worship. So, you know, to the person who's just starting out or the person who doesn't really know how to take those first steps, I would encourage them to watch themselves on live stream if they have one, to get some feedback from their senior pastor and to work on some of these things, because we're not looking for perfection, just looking to lead God's people. And that requires a few things on our part, you know. And there's probably many more suggestions that they would have that they'd like to send us as well. And you're welcome to do so at soundworshippod@gmail.com. You can find us on social media, Sound Worship Podcast, soundworshippodcast.com. And any more thoughts, Allie, before we take a break?
Yeah, I mean, I know that we can say that it is just about the inward and what our heart is, which is true, but we do have to be aware that not everybody can see that, and it needs to be brought forth so that other people can see that joy and that worshipful heart that you do have, that it is displayed on the outside, and that, yeah, if you're going to be a leader, people have to see where you're going. So they got to see what you're doing, and no, that doesn't make it about you unless you are being that way. But if you're leading them to Christ, then that's the most important thing.
Yeah, good point. And the Bible says, make a joyful shout unto the Lord. So if it's not joyful, it's just a shout. It's just noise. So, hey, let's bring it. Those of you who are leaders, those of you who are worshipers, let's just bring all we have every time to the Lord and just allow Him to continue to work in us. So thanks for listening to the Sound Worship Podcast. Check out our conference media, CalvaryChapelDeepSouth.com, and our upcoming worship conference next May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We can't wait to see you there.
Sound Worship.